Hey beauties, hi yogis, it's Jill here, and I know it's been a while, so thank you for bearing with me. And of course, so much has happened in the last wee while in my life, and I'm sure yours too. We've had a pandemic, we've had all sorts of things happening to us, and obviously I dropped the ball a little bit with the podcast and was busy creating online content with the Blue Lotus Yoga and Ritual online platform, and of course getting back into a routine with workshops and yoga holidays, etc., after the pandemic has taken me a little while to settle back in. But hey, I'm back, and lots of students have asked me for the podcast to return because you like the audio content. Of course, it's free for you to practice with as many times as you like. And also, I had a lovely message from someone that alerted me to the fact that not only has there been literally thousands and thousands of downloads of these podcasts, but my podcast was voted the third best yoga podcast in the UK. So, wow. And thank you. Thank you so much for that vote of confidence. And I'm so thrilled to pick up the ball again and run with these podcasts. So, most of these podcasts are going to be recorded in my classes. So, this first one that you're going to get today is a 75-minute slow and steady stroke beginners practice. And you'll either get that, or I might up the ante a little bit with a more dynamic flow, which will be a 90-minute practice. And my aim is that I will record one of these classes once per month. So you'll get at least one per month, and let's see how that goes. Also, if you do have any special requests, please do drop me a line. You can find me on social media, Yoga Jilly on Instagram, Blue Lotus with Jill Amerson on Facebook. You can message me, or you can send me a quick email, info@bluelotusyoga.co.uk. And I'm more than happy to try to resolve any questions, queries, or address any issues you might be having in your practice via this podcast. So it's so good to be back with you and excited to share this first podcast with you in this new series. And I'm teaching all about mythical flow for these next 6 weeks. So what better way to start than with the gatekeeper of the threshold places with Ganesh. So I really hope you enjoy this podcast. Please comment below here on Podbean, or as I say, drop me a message or follow me on my socials. So good to be back with you. Sending you lots and lots of love and blessing energy. Everybody, welcome back to the classes and this new block of classes after the Easter break. I hope you had a great Easter and are looking forward to getting back into your practice again. For tonight's practice, you're going to need a yoga strap and a couple of, well, at least one brick if you have it. And you may need that, you may not. There will also be a little bit of a kneeling section as well. So if you've got more sensitive knees, you might want to dig out a blanket or fold your mat in half or when we get to that kind of stage. So tonight's practice then is, and actually the whole of this block is going to really be dedicated to the mythical stories. And I know lots of you have been in class with me for a long time, and may be familiar with some of these stories that I'm going to tell. Some of you, this is going to be a whole new thread to your practice. But we're going to kick off tonight with a story in a few moments about Ganesh. And I think it's important to note before we get into the practice tonight, and in fact for all of the other practices in this block, that when we're talking about the deities, the Hindu deities and these gods and goddesses, that sometimes we can think that they are out there somewhere and they are separate from our own self. But in the ancient scriptures and the Hindu texts, what it describes these deities as is almost like a part of our own persona. So each deity is an aspect of your own personality.
So all of these characters in the stories, the characters we really like, the characters that are a bit shady and we don't really like so much, we all have those characters in us, okay? So, and some of these stories are going to really, hopefully, resonate with you, and some of them may not so much. But each of these stories has a bit like a parable, has a metaphorical understanding and meaning to make it relevant to us as modern day yogis. And really, that's why I love telling these stories and love doing these teachings, because for me, it brings the physical practice to life. It gives it a lot more intention, and we start to understand the deeper meanings of yoga rather than just this is a good stretch or that's good for, you know, strengthening or that makes me more flexible. There's a lot more deeper levels of understanding to a yoga practice, of course. So I hope that you're going to enjoy these next few weeks with these stories. And the story that I'm going to tell and introduce you to today is the deity Ganesh. And some of you are going to be really familiar with Ganesh. He's probably one of the most famous of the deities, because he's the little boy's body with a big Buddha belly and a big elephant head. And Ganesh, or Ganesha sometimes as he's called, he has lots of other names as well. Ganapataye, another one that you'll hear me refer to a bit later. But he is Shiva's son. And so he's very familiar growing up with, the head honcho of all the deities as his dad. He's super familiar with all the teachings of yoga. And many different stories for Ganesh, including one about how he got his elephant head in the first place. But if you notice, and I'm not going to tell that story tonight because it's really long, but you'll notice that Ganesh has teeny tiny eyes, so he doesn't see very well. But what he does have are great big elephant ears. And really, this is one of the main teachings of Ganesh, to not be looking outside of ourselves and trying to seek the answer out there somewhere, but instead to listen inwards, to use our elephant ears and listen to the wisdom that is already within our own hearts. And in India, when you go to India, when at the beginning of any entranceway, whether it's the entrance to a library, a hospital, people's homes, schools, you always see statues of Ganesh, because he is usually the gatekeeper at the threshold. So anytime there's those entry places, when we're taking, maybe crossing into a new chapter or into a new building, you'll see his energy there. And right now, of course, we're just stepping through an eclipse portal. I'm sure nobody's escaped the media with that one. It's been all over everything, social media and the telly. Of course, we had a big, big kind of cosmic energy gateway happen on Monday. But actually, we're still in the energy of that for a few days before and a few days after. So we had a new moon on Monday in Aries, and then also we had the eclipse, and new moons are all about stopping, pausing, setting new intentions, but going into the dark place. Just as the moon goes dark, it takes us into the dark understanding within ourselves to set new pathways and intention. Eclipse energy amplifies the new moon energy, like supercharges it tenfold, okay? And then also, we have a lot of other things happening cosmically at the moment as well, to do with other planets that I won't bore you with all that stuff, but those are the main things. But a lot happening. And the energy of Aries, of this dark moon, energy Aries is very fiery. It's very activating. It's like literally when we see the ram that symbolizes the sign, the zodiac sign Aries, it is literally about ramming through our life, like on full, fast pace and just going gung-ho straight in. The teachings at this new moon, which is why I'm teaching about Ganesh tonight really, are about doing the opposite of that. About actually not rushing in like a bull in a china shop. Instead, we stop. We listen with our big Ganesha ears to inside and think to ourselves, is this aligned with my heart? Is this the reaction that I want to be giving? Are these words my truth? So before we react, we take a sacred pause. And that is one of the main teachings of Ganesh and what we're going to be doing this evening. So we're going to be unraveling a few patterns and habits and thoughts and pathways through our physical practice. And then there'll be time at the end when we really sit and listen in with our Ganesha ears. So I'm going to start with a story, a very short story of Ganesh. So you're welcome to receive the story in a seated position or you can lie down. We are going to lie down almost immediately after the story anyway. So if you want to lie down from the get-go, be my guest. And you can lie down in any way that's comfy for you. Please make sure your yoga strap is in reaching distance. You won't need it immediately, but we will be using it in this lying down little lumbering sequence. So, making yourself comfy, settling in, eyes can be open or closed. And once upon a time, a long, long time ago, and also, as I said earlier, happening right here, right now, inside every one of us, because, of course, we are all the characters in these stories. Ganesh, as I said earlier, is Shiva's son. And so he's very, very familiar with the teachings of yoga and how yoga teaches us a lot about balance. And Ganesh is very good, generally speaking, at balancing his indulgences and his austerities. But this one particular day, and the reason that Ganesh has a great big Buddha belly, is because Ganesh loves nothing more than sweet treats. And this one particular day, he'd been to an all-you-can-eat dessert buffet. And he pulled up his chair right close to the table and he was shoving in all the desserts, you know, full on. And he sat there until he could eat no more. And he was so stuffed he could barely move. So he thought to himself, oh, I better get up and go home now and digest all of this stuff before I burst. So he gets up, goes outside, and all of the deities have a different vehicle of choice. And Ganesh's little vehicle is like a tiny little smart car. In fact, it's a tiny little mouse. And you might be thinking, well, how the heck is this elephant going to be carried home by a little mouse? But of course, it's in the world of the gods and the goddesses, so anything is possible. So Ganesh steps on top of the mouse, balancing on one leg. You can imagine a bit like tree pose. He's got his arms out to the side, and the mouse runs off down the street with Ganesh on his back, carrying Ganesh home. So they go down Country Lane, and suddenly, out from nowhere, out from the bushes, comes a slithering cobra. And you can imagine, mouse sees snake, petrified, rears up, and as he rears up, Ganesh falls thud onto the ground. And as Ganesh hits the deck, his tummy bursts open, all of the cakes and the sweet treats are tumbling out of his tummy and rolling all around on the floor. So Ganesh gets himself up, he starts bending down, picking up all the cakes, shoving them back in his tummy, and then he gets the snake, wraps it around his waist, ties it in a big knot, cinches it tight like a belt to hold his tummy together and all of the desserts in his belly. And as he's doing this, he hears somebody roaring with laughter. And he's looking around and he can't really see anyone. He's thinking, who is that laughing at me? And he suddenly thinks, oh my gosh, somebody's witnessed my fall. Who is laughing? Who's seen it? And he starts to get a little bit embarrassed, a little bit humiliated. And so immediately he looks up in the sky and he sees Chandra, the moon, laughing at him. So he immediately snaps off his right tusk, launches the tusk up into the sky. The end of the tusk pierces the moon, and suddenly the moon is completely dark. The light has gone out. And Ganesh looks up at the moon and he says, I curse you, Chandra. Never again will you shine your light on this earth. So you might think, especially with our weather at the moment, oh, brilliant, 24/7 sunshine. But of course, that has its perks. Of course, everything starts to dry out. But everything then on the earth, because it's 24/7, is completely scorched. There's no stars, there's no lovers lovemaking underneath the moonlight. There's no joy left in the world, it's all getting dried out. So all the gods and the goddesses come to Ganesh and say, please, Ganesh, can you just find a compromise with Chandra? So Ganesh is pretty flattered by all this attention. So he says, okay, all right. So he says, okay, Chandra, this is the deal. What's going to happen is I'm going to let you shine your light again, but it's only going to be for 1 week out of four. Otherwise, and in between that time, you've got to wax and wane. So hence why we now have the lunar cycle between the dark moon and the full moon. And that is the story of Ganesh and Chandra, the moon. Now, what does that really mean to us? I'm sure we can probably all relate to that moment when Ganesh was feeling uncertain, embarrassed, humiliated, unsure, a little bit angry. So instead of taking a step back, he snapped off his tusks, threw it at the moon. And probably we've all done that, haven't we? All expressed ourselves in some kind of vengeful or rageful way, and then immediately regretted the consequences of our words or our actions. And so from that day forth, Ganesh really learned about the teachings of yoga that really tell us exactly not to do that. To instead, when we're feeling any of those things, to stop, pause, listen, and attune to our hearts, to get more and more sensitive, and to express ourselves in ways that are non-harmful to ourselves or other beings. And so in our practice this evening, we're going to get really attuned with our big Ganesha ears. We're really going to start to listen in and give ourselves that space before rushing in like a bull in a china shop. So if you are still upright, please come down onto your back. Make yourself comfortable with your legs stretched out in front of you. Take your arms away from the sides of the body, and your palms can be face up or face down on the ground. And as you just arrive here, settling into the great flow of your breath, taking this moment to just pause, wait, and listen, so that we start to really attune from the inside out, knowing where we want to call in this energy of Ganesh, this essence energy that aligns us with our own true path, our dharmic path, and the wisdom that we are born with that is residing right in our heart. You know, his teachings tell us that that wisdom is always there. We don't need to look outside of ourselves. So as you feel into your body, noticing and maybe thinking about how this story might be present for you right now. Are there obstacles on your path that you don't really know how to get around? And Ganesh is often known as the remover of obstacles, but he also places the obstacles there to help us to grow, to teach us that we don't need to look outside of ourselves for the answer, but if we get quiet and listen in, we're more able to navigate our path around that obstacle with greater ease and stay aligned to our heart. Maybe there's places in your life where there are those big obstacles, you don't know how to navigate them. Maybe you're feeling a little bit stuck in your life, or your vision is lost, or your perspective is stuck. Maybe you're thinking there's only one way to tackle a particularly difficult situation, whether it's with a conversation or a person. So just thinking about the obstacles on your path right now and how you are viewing them through your thoughts, your behaviors. Maybe there's patterns in your life that have become an obstacle. Often that is our greatest obstacle, the ways that we talk to ourselves, the ways that we have those inner conversations, inner dialogues that make us less than. We're not this or we're not that. So thinking about the obstacle for you that you perhaps need a little clarity of, and just holding that and letting that really rest into your heart as we practice. And then maybe, who knows, we might have a different perspective at the end of our
practice when we've really embodied these teachings of Ganesh through our practice this evening. As you feel into your body now, bring awareness to your right leg. And let your right leg just roll out to the side as though you're taking the baby toe side of that foot down towards the mat. Then keeping the foot on the ground, slide the heel up the midline of your mat, like you're bringing the heel towards the groin. So it's almost like you're doing tree pose, lying down on your back. And then bring the right knee up to vertical, placing the sole of the foot on the floor. Press down into your right big toe mound as you drop your right knee over to the left side of your mat, keeping your right shoulder grounded in this gentle twist. Slightly arch your lower back a little there without jarring. And then bring the knee back to vertical, drop the knee out wide, and then slide the right heel away. Your left leg is outstretched at the moment. Now we're going to alternate, go to the other side. Left leg externally rotates. We slide the heel up like a tree leg. We bring the knee to vertical. And we drop it over towards the right side of our mat, keeping the big toe mound on the ground and slightly arching the lumbar. And then knee back to the center. Drop the knee out wide and slide the left heel away. Continue in that rhythm, alternating side to side. Notice where you either go onto autopilot and don't really become present to what your body is doing. Notice where you have that desire to do a bit more, to lift the leg a bit higher, or to push, or to struggle, or to strain. See how it feels to do a little bit less and be a little bit more slidey, glidey in the movement than using too much muscular action. And it's said that wherever we place our intention at this time of this new moon, of this solar eclipse, then whatever we devote our attention to at this time will ripple out for months to come. This 3 years, one of the big cosmic gateways of the year. So what Ganesh is asking us to do is really get clear about what we want to focus our attention to and how we want to be guided. And he describes our heart as our own North Star. So just do a few more rounds of that limbering for your legs and your hips. I'd love to share with you this short paragraph that really embodies this teaching super clearly. It's by Carol Richards. She says, "Let us use our spiritual intentions as our internal compass, the guiding star by which we steer our lives. Consciously focus on the direction you want your life to take and choose your intentions wisely and lovingly, as they will serve as navigation tools. We may not always follow the directions and we are prone to go adrift, but be gentle with yourself as you reposition your feet on your chosen way. Our ego mind is expert at distracting us from our purposeful path as it seeks to lead us astray. Align and realign your internal compass with your own North Star and allow it to lead you back home, no matter how far you've strayed." And really, that's what Ganesh is asking us to do too. Align and realign with our heart as our internal compass before we take action, before we walk our own true path. So next time your right leg comes up into that tree star position, and if you're on the other side, don't rush to get to it, take your time. We're just going to hold that tree-like position with the right knee dropped out to the side, and then glue the sole of your right foot against the inseam of your left leg. It can be lower towards your ankle, higher towards the calf or the inner knee. And take your time to get to that place. Great. So your right knee is out to the side. The sole of the right foot is glued to the inside of your left leg. Beautiful. Dig your left heel down. Light up your toes and politely press the left big toe mound and the center of that heel towards the calf. Press the inseam of the leg against the right foot and the right foot against the inseam of your left leg. And then you scoop lightly your tail and your pubic bone towards each other. Imagine those two bubbly bits on the front of your hips. If you like, you can put your hands there.
Or like little magnets drawing across towards each other. And as they kind of suck towards each other, you'll get that feeling of being kind of zippered up, a bit like Ganesh cinching the snake around his middle and finding that support in the lower belly. Keep that, notice how it feels. It's going to help us out with a standing tree pose a little later. And if it's available for you, keep that action in your lower body as you stretch the arms up to the sky and back behind you. Arms can go wider if there's resistance in the shoulders, or fingers can come together in a little prayer overhead. Whatever your preference is, or somewhere in between. And just notice that feeling of being stable as the crown of the head extends away from the tail. Steady in the base, but extending and opening more space for that new awareness and insight to flood into the heart. Let's float the arms down. Switch legs. So the lying down tree pose on the other side. Exactly the same as what you've just done. So right leg stretches out. Round the heel, light up the toes, press the big toe mound and the heel towards the calf arc. As you glue the inner right leg and the sole of the left foot into each other so they're equally hugging to the midline. Stabilize your pelvis. We did a lot of work with that in the last block of classes. So just bringing tail and pubic bone towards each other. So we've got some neutrality there in the lower back and pelvis. And then drawing those two points on the front of your pelvis towards each other, feeling the tone in your lower belly, the support in your root system as you do that. Maybe taking the arms overhead, because when we're upright, this challenges our balance a little bit because it shifts the center of gravity. So just noticing the impact and making sure that the lower body is still activated. And Ganesh is a lot about balance. As I said earlier, he's Shiva's son, so he knows, generally speaking, how to balance indulgences, austerities, how to find balance physically and energetically, although we did lose it on that occasion in front of the moon. And of course, we all, no matter how well we know the teachings, sometimes we all lose it sometimes. Let's float the arms back down. Bring the left knee back up and have both knees into your chest. Yourself a little massage on your lower back, circling one way or the other, or swaying, whatever feels nice. Then as you hug your right knee with both hands towards your chest, put your left foot down on the ground, keep the knee bent. Circle the right ankle a few times, loosening and limbering, making space, particularly if you've been on your feet all day, that joint tends to get a bit compressed. Away a few times. And then please take your yoga strap and rig it around the base of your right foot. Hold the ends of the strap in either hand and bend your elbows, placing the upper arm bones on the ground as your leg extends towards the sky. Letting the strap be fairly taut, but the upper body stays nice and relaxed, and we want that space across the heart, temple, really nice and clear. Beautiful. Press up to the sky just as we pressed to the calf arc a few moments ago. Press up through your big toe mound and your centre of your heel. And then also make sure that your tail isn't curling up off the mat. Reach your tail slightly forwards and down. So there's a slight arch even in your lower back. If you're feeling a big stretch in the back of your right knee or your sit bone, please bring the leg forwards towards the front of your mat. So that you are feeling a stretch there in those more vulnerable places that are a bit more prone to strain and injury. Check in that your knee and your toes are pointing to the wall directly behind. Pass both ends of your strap to your right hand. Left arm
goes out to shoulder height, palm up or down. Anchor the left side body. And simultaneously, nice and slowly, you're going to start to open the left knee to the left and the right leg to the right. See if you can maintain the balance across your pelvis and your buttocks as you move nice and slowly. So again, we're not rushing in. We're taking considered action as we open the legs away from each other, stretching through the inner groin whilst maintaining that balance across the back of the pelvis. Press out through your right foot, ball of foot, center of heel again. Beautiful. And then at the same time, bring both legs back to the midline. Release your yoga strap. Just drop it across your belly. Stretch out both legs long for a moment. Again, we'll take a very short sacred pause here, 5 seconds or so. Just feel the length of the legs, the weight of the legs, the density. Noticing how it feels different from right side to left. Now let's bend the right knee, foot on the floor, hug the left knee into the chest. We'll start with the ankle circles again. A few times going well one way. Nothing too fast or jerky. And if there's a bit of popping and cracking, provided there's no pain, of course, that's perfectly fine. But if you are feeling anything that's oversensitive, painful, please do give me a yell. Let's go round the other way if we haven't changed direction already. And then exactly the same leg stretch on the other side. So sole of foot pressing into the yoga strap as you extend the leg skywards. And as you press up, pull lightly down on the strap. So we're pressing up, remember, through big toe and center heel, pulling down lightly, sucking the femur deep into the socket to give us a lot of stability. Just checking in that our tail isn't kind of tucking up and curling up off the mat. So we're still able to keep that beautiful extension of the whole spine. This leg, of course, might feel very different. So if there's big sensation, back of knee, back of sit bone, bring the leg forwards away from your belly towards the front of your mat until you can't feel any strain there in those more vulnerable places. Please pass both ends of the strap to your left hand. Right arm goes out as a stabilizer. Round the right side body, let it be heavy on the earth. And then the left leg and the right knee at the same time start to move so we maintain that equanimity across the back of the pelvis and the lower back. So in other words, we don't want to feel like we're tipping. As I said earlier, Ganesh is all about the balance, balancing, you know, physically and energetically. So just feeling that balance across your pelvis. And then keep radiating, lighting up your left foot, spreading the toes, pressing out. Great, everybody. Let's go ahead and bring both legs back to the center. Release that left leg. You can ditch your yoga strap now. Again, just momentarily extend both legs out. Drop. Maybe take a long exhalation. Really open your big Ganesha elephant ears and feel and listen to what is moving, shifting, what you're sensing through your physical body, as well as, of course, the mind, the breath, the emotional response. Please bend both knees now. Drop both knees out wide. Bring the soles of your feet together. Take your hands onto the tops of your thighs and press the thighs forwards towards the carpet. So it's like you're pressing the thighs out of their sockets. And as you maintain that pressure through the thighs and your hands, elongate the spine, like you're trying to extend the crown of your head towards the wall behind you. Feeling the spaciousness between the vertebrae. On the stable foundation of the pelvis, we can grow tall and really attune to our own North Star. Our inner compass has a little bit more space around the heart. Use the hands on the outer thighs now to scoop them together and bring both knees into your chest. A little massage again, rocking, rolling, swaying, circling, whatever feels nice for you.
And then depending on how your and much energy you have this evening,
you could either roll to one side or rock forwards and back a little bit and then bring yourself around and up to sit. And I recommend that you perch on something if you have it, roll up the end of your mat, a blanket, a skinny block. Cross-legged if that's okay in your joints. If it's not, legs out in front, nice and wide apart, probably wider than your mat. Find neutral in your pelvis. So bring the perineum so it's parallel to the ground, that space between the genitals and the anal passage. So the bowl of our pelvis is nice and stable and our spine can elevate. Now, every deity has their own mudra, gesture, and mantra, sound. We're gonna be visiting the sound bit a bit later. But the gesture of the hands for Ganesh, let's bring our palms together, and then we're gonna spin the hands. Right thumb goes up, left thumb goes down. Palms will face in towards each other. I'm mirror imaging you, so we're all doing the same thing. And then hook your fingers together. Move your shoulder blades down your back and let this mudra come somewhere in front of your heart. And this is a bit like a gesture or promise of commitment. So where do you want to place your energy at this time? Close your eyes for a moment, listen. What obstacles are on your path? What new perspective do you desire? Come back home to the heart space and listen in. Then as you breathe in, lift the heart, take the arms up to sky. As you breathe out, round your spine, tuck your tail, bring the hands down in front of chest. Inhale, extend, arms go overhead. Exhale, round the spine, draw in. Once more, breathing in. And out. Inhaling, let's extend back to sky, then burst the arms open. We're gonna twist to the right. Left hand finds right knee. Right fingers gently graze the floor behind us. And the elbows soften away from each other to keep that space across the heart. Let your breath be easeful. Let's take the right hand, and that's the back hand, up to the sky. And we're gonna lean the trunk of the body towards the left knee, keeping the right sit bone heavy and revolving the belly chest towards the right side of the mat. Let's bring that right hand down to find left knee or thigh, and then round the spine, tucking the tail, chin to chest. Bring the pelvic bowl back to neutral as we extend up and out, lift the arms, keeping the crisscross. And then we're gonna bend the elbows, magnetizing the backs of the hands towards each other. If double wrapping the arms is available to you, then go for that. If it's not, don't worry, just keep bringing the backs of the hands as close to each other as you can. Shoulder blades down the back, elbows lift off the chest. Great, everyone, let's burst the arms apart. And hands come down just onto the floor behind us. Take the legs out front, soles of feet on the floor, bend the knees. Now, if you've got sensitive wrists, fingers turn out to the side, you can be on your fingertips, you don't need to go flat palm. Otherwise, if your wrists are happy, you can turn your fingers forwards and place the palms on the ground. You have the option to not weight bear here and just stay in this position, climbing out of lower back, lifting the chest. Otherwise, we're gonna lift the hips in a reverse table, big lion's breath at the top. So we stick out our tongue and exhale through the mouth. So breathing in, uplifting if that's your path, and out through the mouth. Clearing and cleansing, shifting the greatest obstacle, which is usually our mind. Great. And then we're gonna change the crisscross of the legs, the other shin in front, or legs out wide again. And we settle in for the same sequence on the other side. Palms together. We're going to reverse the Ganesh Mudra this time. Left thumb up, right thumb down. Hook the fingers together. Settle this commitment in front of the heart. Strengthening our heart cords with our hands. Breathing in, uplifting. Breathe out and round. Breathing in, rising. Breathing out, back to the heart. Last one in that way. And this time, as we extend and rise to the sky, the arms burst apart and we twist to the left. Right hand finds left knee or thigh. Notice if you're leaning back. Use the left fingers as a little bit of scaffolding to stack your crown right over your tail. Let's lift the left fingers to the sky and lean the trunk of the body towards the right knee. Palm will be facing down, that top palm, but not with the arm in front of the eyes. Turn the belly chest a little bit more to the left. And lengthening the underside, the right side of the rib cage, just as much as the left. Let's go ahead and bring the left hand down to find right knee and round in. Keeping the crisscross of the elbows, we climb out, lifting the arms up. And then we bend the elbows and magnetize backs of hands towards each other. Oh, there's a double wrap possibility there. But either way, we're stretching open that space between the shoulder blades, the back door to the heart temple again. So there's more space for that heart wisdom to illuminate from our center. Let's bring the arms around behind us. Bring the legs out front, bend the knees. Again, you have the choice not to weight bear. Otherwise, our next cleansing lion's breath, lifting the chest and or hips out through the mouth at the top. Great. Lowering the hips all the way down. And let's go ahead and come all the way over onto all fours. So if you're not wanting to kneel, then you can come onto a chair with your forearms onto the chair seat with the chair facing you. If you don't want to be on flat palms in this tabletop position, you can come onto your knuckles with your thumbs pointing forwards, strengthening the wrists. Wrists underneath shoulders, or elbows underneath shoulders if you're on your forearms, and knees underneath your hips. Let's take our right leg straight back. Breathe in, heart forwards. Breathe out, round in and up, nose and knee towards each other. Inhale, extend heart back. Or heart forwards rather, leg back. Exhale and round in. Inhale, extend. Exhale, draw in. Inhale, extend. And as you exhale, you're going to step that foot to the outside of your right hand. If your foot gets stuck halfway up your mat, just pick it up and bring it forward so the ankle's roughly underneath your knee. Now, you might, not for this next bit, but a little in a few moves down the line, you might need your yoga block. So block or blocks on the inside of your right foot, or if you've got a chair seat, you're probably not going to need that. So it might just be one, and they can be any height. Let's leave those there and then climb up onto the right knee and straighten the arms. So we stack the shoulders over the hips. Tail and pubic bone towards each other so the pelvis is in neutral again, helping us to find steady ground. Let's bring the hands back to Ganesh Mudra, but left thumb up, right thumb down. Connect the fingers. As the arms go up, we're going to bring the pelvis forwards. Breathe in. As we breathe out, round a little bit, hands back in front of heart. Breathe in, pelvis forwards, arms up, deep lunge. Breathe out, draw in. Once more, breathe in and out. As we go up this time, you can bring the pelvis slightly forwards. And we're going to bring our right elbow towards the inside of our right knee. Press elbow and knee into each other. Lightly pull up with the top hand. So we're creating a little resistance and leverage to turn the belly chest to the left. Right hand is going to reach down to find your block, any height, or the floor. Left hand goes straight up to the sky. Of course, you could put your forearm on the chair seat if you're using that variation. Turn your top palm to face the front of your mat, and then bring the top arm alongside your ear, creating that beautiful diagonal opening down the left side gate again. Take another breath in, expand, find space. And as you breathe out, bring the hand down in front of your face, finding your block or the earth again. And if you're on the earth, use tented fingers rather than flat palms. Let's go ahead and tuck the back toes under. As you breathe in, bring your pelvis forwards, lift both sides of your chest. As you breathe out, lift your back knee, straightening the front leg a little or a lot. Maybe even the ball of that foot lifts off the ground. Back to that deep lunge with the back knee down, possibly breathing in. Breathing out, rocking back, straightening the legs a little or a lot. Breathing in, coming forwards. Breathing out, rocking back. Great. Coming all the way forwards again, let's lower the back knee down to the floor. Might move your blocks to the side. And whilst we've got room, we're going to swing that right knee back behind us. We're going to come down onto our forearms and onto our belly into Sphinx position. Sandy, if that's too much, you can just sit back and you can do your cat-cow in this position instead, okay? Slide your legs back, elbows underneath your shoulders, forearms like train tracks parallel. Lift this pinching in your lower back, slide your elbows even further forward so a bit more of your ribs are on the floor and hopefully that pinching sensation will disappear. As you breathe in, look into the heart. As you breathe out, move your chest forwards, the crown reaches to sky. Breathe in, look in. Breathe out, chest forwards. Breathing in, last one. And exhale. Let's slide hands back alongside the chest with the fingers kind of no higher than the tops of your shoulders. Hands can go wider if it feels a bit tight in the shoulders. Ground your legs, and as you breathe in, heart open as you rise into a baby cobra. Remember that snake that snuck out of the bushes and scared Ganesha's steed? And then we lower back to the earth. Gonna press up to all fours. And that same sequence on the second side. So left leg extends back, heart forwards. Round in, nose and knee. Breathe in, extend the spine. Exhale, coil in. Last one, inhale, exhale, inhale, extend leg back, and then that foot is going to step to the outside of your left hand. Give it a helping hand if it needs it. Let's put our blocks in situ again in case we might need them, and then climb up onto the left knee. Neutralize the pelvis so the tail and the pubic bone are coming towards each other. Sometimes there's a tendency to pitch forwards and stick the bottom out. So create that stability in the pelvis and lower back. And then hands come to Ganesh Mudra, but right thumb up, left thumb down this time. Breathing in, pelvis comes forwards, arms go overhead, keeping the mudra. Breathing out, round in. Inhale. Exhale. One more in your own rhythm. As you come up this time, we're going to bring our left elbow to the inside of the left knee. Press elbow and knee into each other to give you some support. Then tug your top hand up a little bit to give you some leverage to turn the belly chest to the right. This might feel a bit weird to twist this way, but this is what Ganesh does. He gives us these obstacles that we're unfamiliar with so that we can find new ways of being and thinking and learning. Let's open the arms out wide, maybe using your block underneath your hand. Then that top palm is going to face forward. We're going to bring it alongside the ear. Not in front of the eyes, but lift it up so it's not kind of in your eye line. That's it. So we create that nice diagonal. Well done, everyone. Let's bring that right hand down to find the floor or our blocks. Tuck our back toes underneath. As you breathe in, come forwards into a deep lunge. Lift the sides of the heart. As you breathe out, lift the back knee, straightening the front leg a little bit, maybe lifting the ball of the foot. Breathe in, drop the back knee, lift the heart. Breathe out, rock back. One more, breathing in. And breathing out. Great. As we come back to that lunge, keep the back knee lifted, look forwards, and we're gonna bring that right foot to join our left. We can move our blocks a bit further forwards. Bend the knees, drop your tail, lift your heart. Take your arms wide, breathe in, circle all the way from earth to sky, coming to stand. And the hands come down the midline in a prayer, bringing us back to that North Star, the guidance of the heart wisdom. Ganesh Mudra again, right thumb up, left thumb down, hook the hands. Arms go overhead, press down into your right big toe mound and right heel. As we lean to the left, drop the left elbow down, point the right elbow to the ceiling and pull up through your right hand. Breathe into your right side body. Back to the center. Flip the hands, left thumb up, right thumb down. Lean to your right, press into your left big toe mound, center of left heel. Pull up with your left elbow, pull down with your right. Back to the center. Then circle the arms around and down, hands to hips. Now, if you're not towards the front of your mat, move more towards the front of your mat. You're not going to need a kneeling pad. So if you have that behind you, you can just kick it out to one side so you don't trip over it, because we're going to be stepping backwards. Let's keep our feet on tram lines. So our feet, hips distance apart, roughly. Hands are going to come to hips. Let's slide our left leg straight back. We're going to stay on the ball of that foot. So if you've gone back and across, that back leg acts like a rudder and it's going to turn your pelvis. It's going to make it very difficult to balance. So try to go slide straight back so you're relatively square to the front of your mat. If you feel a bit precarious, go a bit wider with your right foot. Give yourself a bit more base underneath you. And then we're going to lift up this left thigh away from the floor. So power up the back leg, but put a bend in the front knee. Reset your pelvis, tail and pubic bone towards each other. And then hands to in front of the heart in prayer position. Left thumb up, right thumb down, Ganesh Mudra. As you breathe in, lift the arms up, lift the chest. Gaze on the horizon. As you breathe out, put a bend in the back knee and round. Inhale, power up the back leg. It straightens, arms overhead. Breathe out, put a bend in the back knee and round. Once more, breathing in. Take your time, nice and slow, not like a ball in a china shop, remember. Great. Arms come back overhead. And then we're going to bring the arms down in front of the chest. Pivot that back heel in and down. You might even slide it back behind you. And turn your upper body towards the left side of your mat. So your front knee is a little bit bent. I'm going to push down the center of the room so you can all see. Great. So we're in more of a warrior two position now. Let's lean towards the back of the mat in the reverse warrior. If you want to, you can straighten the front leg if it's hard for your knee to stay bent there. Make sure your back heel is spinning away from you. So, just turn your back foot in. That's okay. It'll be easy to balance that way. Beautiful. And then let's come forward, bringing our right elbow into the inside of the knee. A little nudge there. Breathing in, reverse our warrior. Breathe out, head towards the inner knee. One more pulse like that. Breathing in, front leg may straighten. Breathe out, come into it. And then the trunk of the body tips forwards, the arms burst apart, and we end up in triangle form, pressing the back of the right hand into the inseam of the right leg. Great. Circle the top arm a few times. Nice big circles moving from your shoulder blade. Again, freeing up all of those resistances that build up around the shoulders and the heart. The next time the hand reaches to sky, bend your right knee. Back to warrior two. Hands to hips. Look forwards to the front of your mat and hop your feet together. Well done. Back on your tram lines, everybody. Feet hips distance apart. Hands stay on hips. And this time we're going to take our right leg straight back behind us. We're on the ball of that back foot, remember, and go wider if it feels a bit precarious or you feel a bit wobbly. Let's power up the back leg, lift the right thigh up away from the floor, be more on the ball of the back foot that way. Align your pelvis so that your bottom isn't sticking out. Great. And then palms to prayer. This time, right thumb up, left thumb down for Ganesh Mudra in front of the heart. Breathe in, take the arms up. Breathe out, put a bend in the back knee and round. Inhale, power up the back leg. Breathe out, draw in. One more like that, nice and steady, everyone. With your movements, nice and slow, with that attunement. Rising up, then the hands come down in the Ganesha Mudra over the heart. We're going to pivot the back heel in and down, but it's spinning away from you. That's it. Nice. Turn the upper body, bottom of the navel, down towards the right side of your mat. Great. And then we're back into warrior two, light position. Breathe in, lean back, pulling the hands a little bit. Breathe out, lean forwards, maybe nudge the inner knee. Inhale, it's okay to straighten the leg if the leg doesn't like to be static. And then deep bend as we come into the lunge. Nice. Breathing in. Breathing out. This time, as we go back to our reverse warrior, press into your left big toe mat. Stop to straighten the front leg if it's not already. Then burst the arms open, lean back, keep that space, keep the front leg straightish as you tip forwards into triangle. Get that leverage by pressing back of hand and inner leg into each other. Circle the top up. Nice big movements from the shoulder blade. Symmetry now to strengthen the legs a little bit and prepare us for our balance that's just on the horizon now. So our feet are going to stay hips distance. We're going to bring left thumb up, right thumb down, Ganesh Mudra. We're going to bend the knees and track them towards the toes like we're perching on the edge of a bar stool. Great. Just watch your knees don't knock in towards each other. Keep the knees tracking. As you breathe in, take the arms up, lift the chest, the knees stay bent. As you breathe out, tuck your tail a little bit as you bring the hands down in front of chest. You can stay with that variation or challenge yourself a bit with balance. Breathe in, uplift the arms, maybe on to the balls of the feet. Breathe out, ground the heels, tuck the tail and round. Nice, breathing in, heels can lift. Keep the knees nice and soft. Exhale and round. So we're staying in that chair position throughout, really. One last time, breathing in. And breathing out. Great. Let's take the arms up. Press down into the big toe mounds and center heels. Straighten out the legs. Burst the arms apart. Beautiful. And we arrive at our kind of peak pose. Remember that story? Ganesh on the back of his little mouse, trying to find his balance as the mouse is whizzing along the road.
We're going to replicate that.
So we too might be feeling that kind of wobbliness that Ganesh was finding on his mouse. I'm going to start in tree pose. I'm going to show you how this is going to look, and then you don't have to look at me while you're trying to balance, okay? So in a moment, we'll take a sacred pause, then heel against ankle or foot against inner calf. Remember what we did at the beginning, that hugging to the midline through the legs and through the hip points to keep us steady, and then we can anchor down and rise up. And then we're going to bring our hands into the Ganesh Mudra, and if possible, the arms will go overhead, but that doesn't matter if they do or they don't. Then we put a bend in the standing leg, kick the right heel forwards, open the arms, and then we've got the balancing Ganesh. Okay? That's where we're going. So, any friends who might need, if you're having one of those days, and we all have them, of course, where we're not feeling as balanced as usual, then we can stand with our back against the wall. All this can be done with the support of the wall behind you or turning onto one side. Okay? So the choice is yours. So take yourself off to some wall space if you think you might need it. And we're going to begin with both heels on the floor. And then just stand in mountain pose, arms along by your side. Drop your awareness down into your big toe mounds and your heels as you soften your gaze or close your eyes. Scoop your tail and pubic bone towards each other. Climb out of your lower back and extend the crown to the sky. And then just notice, feel, and listen. Before we dash in, we start to take that sacred pause so that we can notice if our own thoughts even become that obstacle, or do they become a doorway of transformation? You know, sometimes since I mentioned balance, usually there's a voice in somebody's head that will go, oh my God, I can never balance. I'm not strong enough, or I'm always silly because I always fall out. Notice that. Notice if you can change that conversation. Transform that at this threshold. So it doesn't matter if we fall, we dust ourselves up, just like Ganesh did in the story. We don't become reactionary. We have a little laugh at ourselves and we start again. That's where we're going. Please open your eyes. Press down into left big toe mound and left heel. Bend right knee and spin the heel against the ankle, or press foot and calf into each other. Gonna bring hands into Ganesh Mudra, left thumb up, right thumb down. Hug to the midline. Remember those hip points that we did in the lying down version earlier. Eyes steady, breath easy. Doesn't matter if we oscillate or sway or even fall. If it's available to you, arms go overhead. That changes the center of gravity, so move slowly, mindfully, sensitively, compassionately. Breath still easy. Then the arms go out wide. Gonna bend the left knee. Kick the right heel forwards, our dancing Ganesh. You can explore the balance here. And it's okay, isn't it, to fall every now and again. It's the way that we do it that, you know, and our reaction to it that can sometimes be harmful to ourselves or to others. Back to the center. Arms come by your sides, mountain pose. Closing the eyes for a moment. It's okay if you want to pedal out through your feet a bit to shift the weight around. But then settle, go back in. What was that inner dialogue for you? Were you gripping, holding, trying to make yourself kind of look a certain way to fit in? How can you be true to your own heart here? Not doing something just because I suggested or because somebody else is doing it. How can you be aligned to that North Star at your heart? And as you did all of that little flow, that balancing flow so beautifully, that first side, I'm going to let you do that in your own time now. So as you're ready, you're going to ground your right foot and bring your left leg into the tree style leg. Your right thumb will be up, your left thumb will be down in the Ganesh Mudra. Take your time. There's no need to rush like a bull in a china shop. Remember, Ganesh is always about taking the sacred pause at the threshold. We don't need to rush in here. We take our time. We keep listening, and sometimes things are very different side to side. So feel your way in, expressing this shape in a way that feels aligned to your heart, to your breath. Doesn't matter what it looks like. From your tree variation, you can take it into the dancing Ganesha shape at a time that feels right for you. You might even play with that. It's okay to let it be helicopter style. I'm sure that's what Ganesh looked like on his little trusty mouse as he was whizzing along. So if you're still holding tree, turning it towards your Ganesh mudra, dancing Ganesh when you're ready. And then when you're done with all of that, back to mountain pose, just that sacred silence, that listening and attuning in. Nothing to be, nothing to prove, but just the deep listening to the wisdom of your own self, really connecting to that inner knowing, that innate wisdom that we are all blessed with when we arrive in this form on this planet. Taking a breath in and a full breath out. As you breathe in, circle arms around and up to sky. As you breathe out, hinge and fold forwards. We're coming through an easy downward dog. So if that's not the way, best way to the floor for you, please ease your way down in a way that feels a little easier on your joints. But a nice upside down triangle position. Walk your legs back. Take your sit bones to the sky. Grab the earth through your tiger paws. Spread out through the necks of your toes. Press down through your big toe mounds. Breathe in, and as you breathe out, knees come all the way down to the floor. Great. Let's spin our legs around in front of us. And if you need extra layers for Shavasana, please take those. Going to do one more clearing breath and a little twist before we absorb our practice, but you can put your layers on if you would like them. And then with legs out in front, feet hips distance apart, knees bent, and take the hands just back behind you. And either, if you don't want to wait there, stay in this position, uplifting your chest. You can do your last lion's breath in that way. Could be on forearms if you don't want to wait there. That's totally fine. If you want to lift the hips, take a breath in. Lift your chest. Lift the hips simultaneously. Big lion's breath at the top. And then lowering the hips if they're lifted. And we can slide onto our forearms and then all the way down onto our back. Beautiful, everyone. As you come down, don't put your blanket on you yet. Bend your knees, please. Arms out to the side, shoulder height. Great. We're just going to do a little twist here. So that could look like a windshield wiper twist for you. With the feet mat's width apart, the arms out wide, the knees sway one way, the head rolls the other. You can stay with this version of a ringing out twist that feels nice in your body. If you want to make it a little bit more dynamic, and you may feel that call, you may not, you can pick up your feet off the floor, bring your knees together, so you're in like a tabletop or lying on your back. And again, your knees are going to go one way, they don't need to go all the way to the floor. Your head will roll the other. The shoulders stay grounded. Great. Arms are still out to the side, whichever variation. Nice. So slowing things down, unraveling, unwinding. And then as you next come through the center, you can place your feet down onto the mat and find your chosen place for Shavasana. That might mean that you're going to keep your knees bent, your feet a bit wider, drop the knees towards each other. Might mean that you drape your legs over some blocks or a bolster. Stretch out your heels to the front corner of your mat. You might also find a benefit of being on your side in Shavasana, or even lying on your belly with your palms like a little pillow underneath your third eye. So whichever way you come in to settle now, the rhythm of your breath is steady, giving space for this new wisdom and insight to flow in. As we start to come back to that guiding star of our heart, our practice resetting our internal compass and guiding us back to the cave of the self. Start to close your eyes or soften your gaze. Maybe there's a nice long exhalation to help you let go and drop and anchor into the support of the earth. Start to open your Ganesha ears, going inside and listening deeply. We all have our own obstacles in our lives, the challenges of householder humanness. We all have those obstacles in our own mind that sometimes hold us back and limit us. There's parts of ourselves that we exile, that we don't really like very much. These too can become obstacles of the state of our own mind. So when we call in the energy of Ganesh, we start to soften. We open ourselves from the inside in a way of willingness to embrace all parts of ourselves, to love ourselves more, to attune more deeply, to listen before we take action, and align to what is the highest within our own self, our own heart's calling, our own heart's wisdom, our own purposeful path. So just for the next few minutes, when you find your mind wandering, analysing, thinking, just come back to watching the flow of your breath, the rise and fall of your inhale and exhale, allowing yourself and your mind to be refreshed, renewed.
keeping your introspection and that quietness within. The eyes stay soft or closed as you gently roll to one side if you're on your back. And then with the least amount of movement, bringing yourself around and up to sit comfortably. Again, the eyes stay closed. Finding the grounding cords of your sit bones and tails as the heart uplifts, the crown reaches to the sky and the moon. Let's bring our palms together in prayer, Anjali Mudra, in front of the heart. And then spin the hands into Ganesh Mudra with the right thumb up and the left thumb down. Gently tugging on the fingers. Come back to that obstacle that you were considering right at the beginning of your practice. That way of being, thinking, the situation. Whatever that was for you. And maybe already your perspective has changed. Maybe it hasn't. Notice, feel, and listen. Now we've slowed things down and cleared the way for the insight of our own inner wisdom to guide us. When we need to reconnect to that North Star of our heart, every deity has a mantra that really defines their essence and brings their essence energy in the vibration of sound into our hearts, our bodies, our minds. And that sound for Ganesh is the sound GAM, G-A-M. His mantra, Om GAM, Ganapataye, one of his other names, Namaha, means really salutations to Ganesh, the one who stands at the threshold place, who helps us to reconnect to our hearts, to that insight and wisdom of our heart temple. So we're going to chant that, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha, 5 times. Feel free to do this silently if you prefer, or you can do it out loud with me, your choice. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. 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 And as we bring our palms together back to prayer, we just take a moment of gratitude for these practices that help us realign and reset, and knowing that we can come back to that mantra to align with our heart's wisdom, our heart's calling, anytime the obstacle in front of us seems too big or the obstacle of our own mind is limiting us. We call on Ganesh to bring that flood of insight and wisdom that comes from our heart space. Hari Om Tat Sat, remembering your own truth and light. Thank you for your practice, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.